I wanted to look with you this morning at a certain account in the Gospels. It's in Luke chapter 22. And in this account, Jesus has a concern for one of his disciples. And I want to just look at that with you. And we're familiar with the situation. It's the Passover meal, the Last Supper, as it's been referred to. And at the end, Jesus is telling his disciples that they would all leave him that night, and that he would be forsaken. But, you know, it helps to get the big picture of an account in the gospel. When you compare all the gospels and you kind of weave them together, sometimes it gives you a fuller picture of it. Because, you know, we read in Matthew 26, Jesus says, "You will all be offended at because of me this night." And then Mark 14, Peter responds, "Though all be offended, not me." Right? And we know that you know, kind of had some consequences there. It opened Peter up to something. But I wanted to look at Luke 22 because I want to see what Jesus says to Peter. Because there's something that he says that gives a better perspective of what Jesus was really concerned about with Peter. And so let's read that together. It's Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And it says, "The Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.'" Then he goes on to with Peter saying he would follow the Lord anywhere, and you know, and Jesus says, "The cock shall not crow before you deny me three times." You know, and we know the story here, but what is significant, and what I want to bring out, is what Jesus says. He says, "I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail." That your faith won't fail. You know, that is what he was really concerned about with Peter. He was concerned that his faith would grow weak, and that his faith would fail him, or that, you know, he would lose faith. You know, he didn't pray for Peter not to forsake Christ, right? He didn't pray for him that he wouldn't deny him. I mean, in one sense, all of the disciples did, right? They all forsook the Lord and denied him, and to a degree. Of course, we know Peter went the step farther, and he said, though everyone, you know, he said all, speaking, there's only the other disciples in the room, "Though all forsake thee, I won't," you know. But Peter was being tested, and his faith in Christ was about to be tested, and he was about to be humbled. And so the Lord was praying, and you know, I think what's so significant is here's Jesus interceding to the Father for Peter. And what is he interceding for? "Father, don't let his faith fail. Strengthen his faith. Help him to hold on to his faith." And that was the crux. That was what the Lord was really concerned about. And Pastor Bailey once was sharing with us about heaven, and he quoted the scripture, and we haven't forgotten this. And he was saying that heaven is not concerned as much about the trials that we're going through, but rather that in those trials, we would not lose faith, that our faith wouldn't fail us, right? That we wouldn't give up, that we wouldn't lose that substance in our heart that faith is. You know, our trust in the living God, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, that, and it was the idea that heaven is concerned about our faith and the strength of our faith in our hearts. And now, recently we were just listening to a lady minister, and she was sharing a vision that she had of heaven. And in that vision, she was asking the Lord a question, and it really stuck out to us of the Lord's answer to her. And now I want you to understand that this is someone's vision, and it's filtered through a human perspective and understanding. But she asked the Lord, "Do you pray for people for healing and, you know, in their sicknesses and so forth?" And the Lord responded this way. This is what she said. The Lord responded, He said that that is not what he prays for. He prays for their faith not to fail. Right? That same perspective, that same response. It's as if that is the main concern of the Lord when we're going through trials. Now, it's not that we shouldn't pray for people to be healed and so forth. He loves to heal. But it gives us heaven's perspective on people and on our lives when we're going through trials. What should be our main concern is that our faith does not fail, that we don't give up. You know, the reality is we're all going to go through trials and difficulties, and they're working in us. Paul says they're working in us an exceeding weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory. And those trials are there for a purpose. But in those trials and in those difficulties, the Lord is concerned about our faith. And that's something we want to be aware of and to remember, even as we're praying for other people. You know, sometimes our prayer is, Lord, get them out of that trial. You know, Lord, deliver them. When in reality, we want to remember, Lord, don't let this trial destroy their faith. Or Lord, don't let their faith suffer. Or Lord, help them to triumph in their faith. And maybe triumphing in their faith will qualify them to pass that test, right? Sometimes we go through a test and we have to take the course over again because our faith level didn't quite get up to what it needed to. See, that's what the Lord is so concerned about. And notice what it says. Also, you know, when the Lord is speaking to Peter, he says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, and it's as if Satan seeks those out who have a desire to go on with the Lord. You know, he saw Peter and he saw the disciples, and it says he wanted to sift him. He wanted to sift him. And when you sift something, if you sift flour, you're trying to remove something from that flour, right? Now you're in flour, you're trying to remove the bad things. But for Satan, he was trying to sift Peter's faith out of his heart. He knew if I can get to him and I can destroy his faith, then I have him. And I've conquered him. And I've gotten the victory. You know, it's almost like you know, those who are going on for the Lord, that it's like Satan has that right to come and test and try and get that faith out of their hearts. And we want to be ready for that. We want to be prepared in our hearts for that. That trials are going to come, right? There's no doubt about that. You know, for the Christian life, we know that trials are going to come, and Satan's going to come, and he's going to come with his sifter, trying to get our faith out, destroy our faith. And really, that's the whole goal of the enemy. If he can destroy our faith in God, in his promises, in his goodness, then he knows that he's won. But if we can hold on to our faith in whatever situation we're in, you know, then we will triumph. Even though it can be a failure. It can be a setback, like Peter. I mean, it was a complete failure for Peter in that situation. But the Lord wasn't concerned about that. You know, that's something we want to understand. The Lord is not worried about us when we fail so much. But he's concerned that in our failure, we'll give up and our faith will fail. He wants us to be strong in faith and to hold on to our faith. Now, just as we're considering this subject, it's good to just rehearse the definition of faith. And faith, the Greek word for faith really means a trust or a firm reliance and confidence in God. A trust, a firm reliance and confidence in God. And so if we have faith in God, then we have a firm trust, a confidence, a reliance upon him in all situations that we're going through. And we know that Hebrews, as I've mentioned, it says that faith is a substance in our hearts. It's not an ethereal concept, right? Sometimes we talk about these concepts in the Bible and they're just kind of floating out there, like, you know, we want to grab them and, you know, I need to get some more hope. I need to get some more joy. I need to this. But the Lord says that faith is a substance in our hearts. It's something we can have. You know, it's like just short of physical, but we can have it. We can feel it within us. You know, we either have it or we don't. We have that firm trust and confidence in God. And, of course, we know that, as it says in Romans 10 and verse 17, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, you know, we understand that faith is planted in us through the word of God as a seed. And there's such power in the word. That's why we always want to magnify the word of God in our lives and make it such of a supreme importance in us that we never kind of move past, you know, reading the word and meditating upon it and say, well, I've been doing that for years, so it's okay if I let it slide a little bit, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, faith is planted within us through the seeds of the word. And there's such power in the word because it produces faith in us. And that's why we want to take every opportunity to read and be exhorted through messages and by hearing the word, the Lord speak his words to our hearts, because it causes little seeds of faith to be planted and they can within our hearts, and that faith can develop and grow. And, you know, there was an instance in the Gospels where the disciples came to Jesus and they asked a question. And this was in Luke, but it's chapter 17. And let's read that if we could. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. So the disciples were coming to him, and they wanted to ask him something. And they said, and Luke 17, 5 says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, how can we have more faith? How can it increase? You know, we've received it, but we want it to grow. And so this was the Lord's response. In verse 6, he said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And so he uses this concept. If you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed. And it's interesting. He references the mustard seed after the disciples asked this question, increase our faith. He'd already given this parable in Luke 13. And so they understood that parable of the mustard seed, you know, when he said it's the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the greatest tree in the garden. And so he was saying you can have the smallest of seeds, and the mustard seed, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it is tiny. I mean, it is really small. You can lose it pretty easily. But it's just like having a tiny little word in our hearts, almost insignificant. We say, Lord, that's just some tiny little word. But if we allow it to, it can grow and produce fruit in us. But I want us to understand something about this illustration, because he uses the concept of a seed for our faith growing. Jesus says that that faith is like a seed, and if that's true, then something must happen. You know, in between a seed being in your hand and that becoming a tree out of the ground, something must happen. That seed must die. And Jesus said this in John 12 and verse 24. He said, I say, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And it's the concept that fruit, or the seed of faith, can never develop without that dying. And really what we're talking about is that yielding unto the Lord, that death to ourself and life to the Spirit of God in us, or his word in us, you know, or his will in our lives. You know, sometimes God can give word after word to us and nothing happens. But it's because there hasn't been that death, that yielding to the Lord, you know, because that seed hasn't died. That complete surrender that must take place for faith to grow. And, you know, and I'm sure that each of us have experienced, the Lord has been speaking for a while, but there's been that struggle in our hearts. But Lord, if I yield to that, what I have is going to die. And there's that struggle. But yet we come to that place and we realize, you know, Lord, I'm willing. I want your life. I've tried my life my way, but it doesn't work. There's no life in that. And we die. We yield our will to him and we say, okay, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And that's when true life starts to bloom and blossom in our life and starts to grow. Of course, it takes a while, right? You know, planting a seed and getting it to something that bears fruit can take years. But, you know, sometimes the Lord moves quickly. If we will be like that seed and allow that death to happen so that His life can come, that's when faith can become a fruitful tree in us. You know, we talk about Peter as, you know, this example here, and we realize that Peter was a man. He had faults. You know, he was definitely human. He had some failures. But in reality, when we consider this idea of faith, Peter, I think, was one of the greatest men of faith there was. When you consider his life, I mean, he knew what it was like to step out in faith. Right? And if we say, well, when did he step out in faith? Let's consider that story. Remember Jesus walking on the water, Mark 14, right? Jesus was walking on the water, and that's remarkable, right? I mean, Jesus performed many miracles, but that's quite a significant miracle. But you know, would it even have entered into our minds to say, Lord, I want to walk on the water with you? But there was something in Peter that he believed in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you. And that was such a loaded statement, because that means he would have to have the faith to walk on water himself and to trust in the Lord. And, you know, sometimes Peter's criticized because he started to sink in the waves, right? And you say, oh, Peter, you didn't have faith. Well, I would say he did, because he did walk on water, you know, and then he started to sink. But, you know, until we're in that boat and having to step out ourselves, you know, that it's quite something to face that. Sometimes we think there was only one person who walked on water, but really there was two. It was Jesus and Peter. And so, you know, he had the faith to do that. But it was because of that surrender. You know, Peter was willing in that instance to surrender and risk his life, to go to the Lord, to meet with him in that situation, even if it cost his life. And so in reality, he's saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my life. And that's what makes Peter such a remarkable person, a remarkable man of faith. But we do acknowledge something in this account, don't we? Right? That Peter, he walked on water, and then he started to sink. Because he saw the wind and the waves kind of around him, and he kind of had some second thoughts entering into his mind and say, whoa, look at where I am, you know, and he started to sink. And really, he stepped out in courage, but then something else came in. It was fear. Fear came in. And, you know, I really believe that one of the biggest maladies, you could say, that keeps God's people from entering into his blessing and entering into his kingdom is fear. You know, Peter saw those waves and fear came in, and fear will destroy our faith. Fear will destroy our faith. You know, and it doesn't matter what kind of fear it is. If it's fear of what people will think, or fear of what will happen to me, or fear, oh, if I have to let this go in my life, you know, what's going to happen? I don't know if I can do that. That fear will destroy the work of faith. But I love what King David said in Psalm 34 in verse 4. You know, as we're thinking, Lord, how am I going to face these fears? You know, how am I going to let faith grow in me? In Psalm 34 and verse 4, here's David's testimony. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. You know, David did not have to dwell with fear in his life. God delivered him from all of them. Now, of course, there was a process where maybe a fear would crop up, and, you know, he went through some fearful experiences too. I mean, his life was being sought by his boss, right? His authority. And so he faced situations where he feared, but he said, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from every one of those fears. You know, and so God wants to deliver us, because faith or fear will just destroy the work of God, the work of faith in us. But if we will come to the Lord, And really, this shows us that faith is not just a one-way connection. Sometimes we think about that. Well, faith comes by hearing a word of God, and it's deposited in our heart, and then it grows. But in reality, God speaks to us. But if faith is going to be fully formed in us, we have to cry out to God. Lord, deliver me from these fears. Lord, deliver me from this desire in my heart or these things that I don't want to give up. Because, you know, I want your faith to grow. And so there has to be that two-way connection with faith. If faith is going to grow in our hearts, you know, Lord, deliver me from these fears or these struggles or worries that keep me from yielding to you. It's a lie from the enemy that we have to dwell with those things, with fear or worries and anxiety. Because David's testimony that God is one who delivers us from all our fears. And there's no fear that needs remain, because perfect love casts out fear. As it says in 1 John chapter 4. Now sometimes you wonder, why was Peter chosen as the premier apostle? And we know he had his difficulties and he was a human. But, you know, I really think from looking at his life, it was because he was a man of faith. He was a man who had learned to yield to the Lord. He had an ability, when he received faith, he had an ability to transmit that faith to others. You know, and I think that's why Jesus said to him, back in Luke 22 and verse 32, he says, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I think of all the disciples, Jesus knew that he could put faith into the heart of Peter. Peter would receive it. He would yield to God. Even if there was a few failures or what have you, that didn't matter because he would yield to God eventually. Right? He would yield to the Lord. And that's what made the difference with Peter. He would obey. He would yield to the Lord, and that faith could rise up in it. And then he could transmit that faith. He could convey it, communicate that, and plant that faith in the hearts of others. And really, here's the whole purpose of faith. It's so that we can strengthen others. God doesn't give us faith just to bless us, but he gives us that faith so that we can be a testimony of God and of his work in our lives. And so if God gives us faith, our job then becomes to strengthen and edify one another, to build up the faith of others. Because the more faith we have, the more he can use us and work through us. Just like the parable of the mustard seed, right? Remember when Jesus said, you'll grow as and become the greatest tree in the garden, but then what happens? And he says the birds will come and they'll rest under the shadow of that tree. That others can find rest and strength and maybe eat some of the fruit of that tree that has grown in our lives, that fruit of faith. And so Peter's life, that's why I like considering and studying his life, because of what the Lord did in him. I mean, he was a man just like any of us, man or woman, just following the Lord. He had his strengths and he had his weaknesses, but he was a man of faith. Jesus was concerned about his faith. And he's concerned about ours, that we would have strong faith so that we can endure the tests that are coming our way. But that's what encourages me about Peter. The Lord was rooting for him. The Lord was praying for him. Peter, I'm praying for you. I am interceding with you to my Father. And that's what we know. Jesus is interceding for us now in heaven. That is one of his, you could say, his jobs now in heaven, as he intercedes for his people. And we might wonder, well, what is he praying for? He's praying for us that our faith would grow, that our faith wouldn't fail. And that's what really matters in life. And so we know that heaven is rooting for us. Mm-hmm. Heaven is interceding for us, that our faith would be strong, that it wouldn't fail, but in fact, that it would grow. And we realize that that comes as we yield to Him. But as we do, you know, He's praying that that faith would grow in us and it would sustain us and that it would be a strength to us and that He could use us to become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that we can strengthen others through our faith. And Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, for You and for the work of Your Son, that You're, Lord, interceding for us and that You're caring for us and concern for our faith. Lord, we just thank You for that. Lord, we just rejoice in the love that You have for us. And Lord, we pray, oh God, that we would be mindful of that. And that, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, even speak to us and show us, Lord, how we can yield to You, that Your faith might grow and increase in our lives. Oh, Lord, let us be rich in faith, we ask, and grow, Lord, in the works of faith in our lives, we pray. Lord, we desire that faith to grow as that mustard tree. Lord, to become great in the garden of our hearts. Lord, that it would be a blessing and a benefit to other people. Help us, O God. Lord, we just give You our hearts today, and we thank You, and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this morning.